Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Why? Why did this happen again? First, it was a grocery store in New York, then a church in California, and this past week, an elementary school in Texas. As if our hearts weren't broken enough after the first two, now we're mourning all over again. And for a group of kids, no less. Plus, this is Memorial Day weekend, when we remember fallen service members. So we've got a lot of grief happening at once right now. This is what's on our hearts. One thing I bet that is not on your heart is Ascension Sunday. Maybe it is, I don't know, but I highly doubt it. And I guess that makes sense, because why would we want to celebrate, given everything else we've been feeling recently? But before we dismiss the Ascension as irrelevant, though, we need to realize that it's actually the perfect text for what we're feeling right now. We are mourning and grieving and wondering why now and why again and what should we do. And as it turns out, that is exactly what the disciples were going through too. Granted, they didn't have to deal with mass shootings, but they did experience an unexpected loss. And they were confused about how to go on. That's because Jesus had left them. Somewhere I heard Ascension called the Great Day of Honesty. And I think that's really appropriate. Because even though we talk about Jesus coming back to life on Easter, we look around and we don't see him in the flesh like he was before. So it almost feels like Ascension is the real day that he dies. I mean, when someone is alive, you get to see them. You can hear their voice. You can hug them. You can eat with them. The disciples got to do that with Jesus, even after the resurrection. But we can't. In a similar way, all of the parents of those students in Texas won't get to see them again or hear their voices again. Or hug them again. A couple of days ago, I saw a picture of some church here in Ohio that put out a whole bunch of empty chairs on their front lawn, representing all of the empty chairs at dinner tables that have been left by those kids. It was a simple and profound image. There is an emptiness now. At tables and in our hearts. And maybe some of you know that feeling firsthand. Right? Even if your loved ones weren't killed in some mass shooting, you still know the pain of having an empty chair at your table. You know how it hurts when a loved one dies. You grieve for them. And grief hurts. Right, I once heard a line that said, grief is our heart's final way of saying we love someone. Right, in other words, you don't grieve over those you don't love. And on this day, we grieve for our world. We care for people, and it hits us deeply when they're killed. We wish that Jesus would be with us like he was with those first disciples. We wish that he would just do something to make this world better. And in fact, that's what the disciples wanted too. Right? They had just seen Jesus conquer death, which means that all their problems, like Roman occupation, those should be pretty easy for Jesus to handle. And so that's why they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? Basically, they thought, finally, Jesus can make this world better. If death can't stop him, then nothing can. Just snap your fingers, Jesus. Make all the pain go away. Stop people from dying. Stop the violence. Stop the horror. But then Jesus says this cryptic line about times and periods that the Father has set by his own authority, and then the cloud takes him away, which leaves the disciples in shock. Why did this happen? Why do we have to say goodbye again? It was hard enough on Good Friday, but now we have to feel all those feelings for a second time. How are we supposed to move on? What are we supposed to do now? And today, many of us wonder the same thing. Why did this happen again? Why do we have to say goodbye again? How are we supposed to move on again? And so we stare into the sky, or we stare at our screens, or we stare at the mirror, and we wonder how life is supposed to make sense now. What are we supposed to do? But then, as the disciples stand there all confused, two men in white show up next to them. And they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" But honestly, that's a really dumb question. Because I can imagine the disciples saying, because we're not done with Jesus yet. He can't just leave us like this. We still need his help. Well, then the men in white continue. "This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Okay, so what does that mean? Why does that matter? Well, there are a few things to notice here. First, let's remember that we've heard about these two men in white before. They were at the empty tomb with the women. There they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen." So that means in both cases, these men in white basically say, why are you looking for Jesus in all the wrong places? He's not here. He's not in the grave and he's not in the sky. But he is still present, just not where you're looking. And second, these men did not say that Jesus would come again by coming down from the clouds. No, they said that he would come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The disciples saw him go into heaven from among them. So he will come again from among them. And third, the disciples might want Jesus to do more for them, but now it's their turn to do something for Jesus. That's because the ascension is the hinge between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the church. It's the last scene in the Gospel of Luke, which is all about Jesus, and it's also the first scene in the book of Acts, which is all about the church. Plus, Jesus basically said it's their turn, even before the cloud took him away. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus commissioned them and empowered them. So that means that these men in white, who announced that Jesus had been risen from the dead, are now calling the disciples to carry on the work that Jesus started, because Jesus was still in their midst. Or let me put it this way. When Jesus was physically here on earth, he was bound by the limits of space and time, like all of us are. But because of the ascension, he is no longer bound by it. Right? Listen again to the prayer of the day for today. Almighty God, your blessed Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Mercifully give us faith to trust that as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So then, where is Jesus now? He's with us and within us. He's not physically here like he once was, but that's a good thing. Because now he is with all of us in every place and every time. He isn't limited to first century Galilee anymore. Now he's also in 21st century New York and California and Texas and here with us. He is with us in our pain. And plus, remember, after the ascension, those disciples who had followed him continued to share his love with the world. And they changed so many lives because of it. We can do that too. Jesus is at work in the world through us. He commissions and empowers us. But in that moment when he ascended, these disciples were still overwhelmed by everything that was happening. And honestly, right now, so are we. And you know, that's okay. Those disciples didn't have to instantly know how they were going to share Jesus' love with others. Jesus just told them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And although Pentecost comes only 10 days after the ascension, those 10 days were still a time of waiting and wondering and worrying. Even though the disciples didn't know where to go from here, Jesus still knew that he could use them to make this world better. So that means if you feel at a loss right now, if you're not sure how to share God's love with a hurting world, it's okay. You don't have to know how to do it right away. Even so, we do know that Jesus is with us, that he is still stronger than death, and that he is still at work in us. We also know that he will still use us to touch the lives of others with his love, just like he did through those first disciples. Right, we can't stop the suffering. We can't stop people from dying. We can't stop all the tragedies in our world. And even Jesus didn't stop. But but he did go through suffering and death in order to defeat suffering and death. And that means this world is not lost. This world is not just one mass shooting after another. This world is not just about horrible headlines. That's because the tomb is still empty. Right? That's the core of it all, my friends. It's not about how you're feeling. It's not about all the questions you have. It's not even about the state of the world. Instead, it's about the empty tomb. If that tomb wasn't empty, then all of who we are and what we do would be for naught, and evil would have won. But since it is empty, who we are and what we do is never in vain, and evil has not and will not win. We are his witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We can show a hurting world that Jesus is still with them. Jesus is at work in us and through us to remind others of his life-giving promises. And yes, I know those promises won't bring back those who have died. Right? It won't put those kids back to their seats at the dinner tables. Nothing can do that. So it's okay to be sad and grieve. It's okay to bring our why prayers to God. But the empty tomb and the promise that Jesus is still with us remind us that suffering and death are not the end. Jesus gives new life to those kids, to all who have died, and to all of us. And I think that is exactly what this hurting world needs to hear right now. And we get to remind them of that. Jesus is stronger. Jesus is with you. And Jesus loves you. And so, in the name of this one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, including us, Jesus Christ our Lord,